Welcome to episode 206 of Sports Geek. On this week's episode, I caught up with Managing Director of the NBA's 2K League, Brendan Donohue, in New York.
Welcome to Sports Geek, the podcast built for sports digital and sports business professionals. And now, here's your host who can help you with that digital rate card, Sean Callanan.
Thanks, DJ Joel. Yes, my name is Sean Callanan, and you are listening to Sports Geek. Hopefully you're doing that on my website, sportsgeekhq.com. You can listen to the podcast on the website at any time, or you can do it on whatever channel or whatever podcast app you choose, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and even now streaming on Roku. If you're a Roku user, please search Sports Geek. Check it out. Send me a screenshot. Send it to at Sean Callanan. I'd love to know if it's working and whether you're going to listen to it on a platform like Roku. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you can do so via Twitter or Slack in the Sports Geek Nation community. At Sean Callanan is my handle, or at Sports Geek if you want to get the Sports Geek handle. And as always, happy to talk to and help podcast listeners. I've been doing that over the last 3 weeks. Just got back from the US earlier this morning, so I'm recording this. Really enjoyed the trip. I'll talk a little bit more after this episode. Really thankful to be able to organize a few interviews. I think the last couple of trips I've taken the podcast equipment and haven't done some interviews, I was able to do some. I was able to also book some more. So this interview was actually organized by Francis McCarthy. He's now organized a couple of interviews for me. I think this is the third interview that Francis has booked. He might have put Sports Geek podcast booking agent on his LinkedIn soon. Thank you very much, Francis, for connecting me again and also giving me a tour of the NBA 2K League studios, where they were live in play on Saturday when I arrived. So this is my chat with the managing director of the NBA 2K League, Brendan Donohue. Very happy to be here on Fifth Avenue at the NBA headquarters. Welcome to Brendan Donohue, the Managing Director of the NBA 2K League. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
So I've had a few chats with people in the NBA space, and you know, the NBA is sort of leaped into the esports space, starting its own league with a title that's very much aligned with the NBA product, NBA 2K. What have you learned so far?
Wow, that's a great question. What have we learned so far? I think the biggest thing we've learned is the beauty of a digital product.
Yep.
In terms of how much information you get in immediate time and how quickly you can react. And I think, you know, that's really where our Twitch partnership and our ability to listen to the fans, listen to the community, and get real-time feedback, good or bad, and be able to make adjustments, you know, the following week. I think that's been probably the most interesting learning.
And it is interesting because, you know, you're 12, 13 weeks into the season and, you know, of the first season. Like, I don't think there was this much scrutiny when the NBA first rolled out the balls in the 50s. You know, we're now living in this hyper media world. Everyone's looking at numbers from a point of view. What are some of the key, I guess, KPIs? What are the things that you're looking at from this season? Because it is season one.
Right, and that's a great point. I would say that one of the KPIs we're looking at, and maybe some of them are measurable and some aren't.
Yep.
One, just given the fact that we're so new in the esports space, was just creating awareness.
Yep.
And so I think so. Awareness, then I think it's this natural progression of awareness, engagement, and then hopefully immersion. And so I think that's kind of the path we like to take fans down. But in terms of the other thing is just uniquely speaking to our potential audiences, and they're very different. So you have your hardcore 2K player who's engaging with us, obviously through the game. They're engaging through 2K TV. They're engaging, you know, with the league. That's our kind of our core audience. But then you have this massive 1.4 billion NBA fans and millions of 2K fans that we can engage with.
Yep.
That I think we have to have a different approach to, because again, we had to create awareness and we had to kind of, showing them some stories versus showing highlights probably was the better approach, is the best approach for us to take there. And the last piece is the esports community. It's, 200 million is the current estimate, but it's growing every day. And how can we uniquely, get them to try us out?
And how's it been? Because it is a big mind shift for traditional sports, right? NBA is a traditional sport, and you've got some of the teams, some of the teams are looking at different parts of the esports space. But NBA 2K is a nice little entry into that space, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you want every NBA fan to be watching 2K, because it's a, like you said, you're serving these two audiences, the 2K audience and the NBA audience, and they're very different from just looking from the outside.
Agreed. Sometimes,
and sometimes I get a bit flustered with the New York Heat. I guess the thing is the dual fan bases that you're talking to, because they're traditional sports people, rusted on, who've watched TV, watched sport through that means, go, what is this thing? Why am I watching people play a game?
Sure.
And so, yes, there is some trend, and they initially think, oh, this is why you go into esports, to drag those fans into this space. But esports is pretty much the other way of bringing the gamers and the gaming community that's highly engaged and potentially bring them across into that space for 2K, but also potentially NBA. It's like a fan extension piece.
100%. So I think I'll give you a more anecdotal perspective for me is, so my 12-year-old, he gets his passion and knowledge of the NBA through playing 2K.
Yep.
When he was 10 years old, and I'm not letting him stay up past 9 o'clock. He knows about the Golden State Warriors and because he's through learning, who the good players are through playing 2K. And I think we see that it's a pretty common progression especially for young fans to go through.
And the other piece that's interesting in the gaming space is how it changes broadcasts, right? Because Twitch is a completely foreign, platform to the sports community, but that's where, I was at the NBA 2K studios. We were doing the games last weekend, and talking to Francis, who helped tee this up, that's where all the fans are. All the traditional sports are using social, but Twitch is the platform, and it's also where that fan base, how they consume that sport.
It is, and I also think is, of all the things that traditional sports can learn from esports, I would say the biggest one is this notion of the modern broadcast.
Yep.
I think this idea of listening to fans in real time and making adjustments to a digital product, being able to potentially further customize the fans' experience. So maybe it's a second channel where, your favorite influencer is actually doing coverage, they're doing the play-by-play of the game, or, different camera angles, which that's not as foreign. But I think that, and then also to have the real-time data of who's watching and where they're watching from, all of that information is so valuable. So I just think I could see the more traditional broadcast kind of shifting in that direction.
And so what's your background? What got you into this role at the NBA?
So I've been with the NBA in some form my entire career, so 22 years. I spent 13 years on the team side, on the business side, mostly on the revenue side of the house. And then 9-10 years ago came to the NBA offices, and I was in Teambo, the Team Marketing Business Operations Group, essentially consulting, helping teams drive their local businesses.
Yep.
And then the last, 16 months or so, been dedicated to the 2K League.
Effectively, as Adam says, the fourth league that the NBA has, which is, quite the feather in the cap. It's not, hey, we're doing this little experiment. It's the fourth league.
Exactly.
So where does, because the other space that esports, it's super hot. Everyone's like, it's the space. Look at all the fans. Look how engaged they are. Look at the watch times. So with your Teambo background, what are the NBA sponsors sort of coming into this space, sort of not quite knowing the space, not quite knowing the demographic, not quite knowing how to engage them? How have you started engaging sponsors that want to be part of the 2K League?
So I will say this is where I think we're pretty fortunate that we have some built-in advantages.
Yep.
Because esports can be scary to a lot of partners, especially ones who are looking to spend significant amounts of dollars. So I feel like having the NBA and 2K brands attached to this makes it feel safer. It's it's a globally recognized game. It's not like, you know, where there's certain games where if you don't play the game, it's hard to understand what's going on, and even harder, quite honestly, to activate sponsorship inside the game.
Yep.
Whereas for a basketball game, you know, especially in 2K, it would be more strange to not have courtside signage or signage on the court. Because it's what basketball fans are using to see. So I think we're fortunate that way. And then the other thing I think we've heard from partners is the fact that we're rated E for Everyone, I think is a pretty big advantage. Like, a lot of our bigger non-endemic partners feel more comfortable not being attached to something that might be not matching their brand ideals.
So explain that, because if people are listening and reading about esports, they hear endemic and non-endemic. Which is a common thing in the esports space. What is that for the people who might be listening and not knowing?
Sure. So endemic is those brands and products that exist in the esports space. So it's the peripherals, it might be a headset, it might be a gaming system, it might be a controller. Non-endemic is outside of that group.
And that's where the growth is in that 100%.
And we're seeing more and more significant big partners out there investing in esports. I mean, and brands that, you know, significant top level brands, such as obviously in our own space having Dell and having State Farm, for example. But we've seen even across esports, you're seeing Mercedes-Benz, you're seeing Audi that are also investing.
And how much, speaking to a couple of pro teams that have got into the esports space, one of the things that they've sort of brought to the space is the professional development and the coaching and the high performance piece to the player side of things. You know, how's that been for some of the 2K players that have coming into what is a professional environment and starting to interact with, you know, NBA high performance staff to sort of say, this is how you prepare yourself. This can take you to that next level.
So I think there's two ways of looking at it. First off, our players from the beginning, our teams have done a great job of integrating them into their NBA their facilities. This is the state of the art facilities, and we're seeing, you know, our normal teams will have, you know, hey, for the first hour and a half of the day, they're going to the gym together to work out. Then they're going to watch film together. Then they're practicing. So you're seeing a very traditional kind of NBA day, like
it's the opposite of what people think. It's a gamer, totally, someone on a couch, you know, box of Cheetos next to them, and it's 14 hours and, you know, straight.
That's like, right.
The high level, you know, the high performance, the best of the best. They're training like NBA athletes effectively.
That's right. And we even had, so when we first, before the season started, we held a rookie transition program, no different than we do for NBA players, where we brought players in and talked about the importance of a healthy and balanced lifestyle, specifically around the importance of sleep, around the importance of nutrition. We talked about the importance of vision, which in esports is an incredibly important skill. And even dealing with kind of stress and anxiety, those types of things, like all those things we're actually trying to help our players kind of adjust to. Because, listen, I mean, this is a pretty abrupt adjustment to go from, you know, to relatively normal life to all of a sudden being a professional athlete, and that didn't exist a year ago.
And so that opportunity also now is presented to anyone who picks up a controller. In the same way you pick up a basketball, if you're good enough, maybe if you're tall enough, if you can shoot well enough, you can get yourself to the NBA. Now that path exists for 2K.
Totally. I mean, I can tell you, and it's awesome to see it in the studio, seeing young kids getting autographs from players and playing, and even having the opportunity to even play with players inside the studio, which speaks to kind of how accessible our players are, but also just to how they're creating these dreams and they're creating their heroes to young fans, no different than, you know, any other sport.
And that's the piece that, from a storytelling content point of view, that fills, you know, the NBA is now becoming a 12-month of the year news cycle. But now, you know, 2K, because you're in a bit of a down cycle, there's no season other than the free agent season, which is a season itself in the regular NBA. It provides that content piece that starts drawing in fans all year round.
Totally. So that's the hope. I mean, so the beauty of how we're currently set up is we'll have our finals August 25th, and then early September, the 2K19 game is coming out. So, and then they'll have engagement around that. We'll have an expansion draft. We'll have, you know, our tryout for year two, our draft. So it will become a 12-month cycle, no different than it's amazing you see now in the NBA where, you know they're dominating headlines through July and August with, you know, with summer league and free agency and draft. So I think we're hoping for that similar engagement.
Yeah, and the thing is that you can fill some of those gaps where the NBA year is not there, and it starts having people understand, oh, this is what it is. And I think the five-a-side, and obviously, you know, playing as themselves and building up the profile of the players, which is very similar to the NBA model, allows people to make that connection, you know, the fans to make a connection with the player, which is what they pretty much do in the NBA. To start, you know, you can start developing those stories.
And I think we're lucky, and we didn't know this going into season one, but now we know that our players have been, they've exceeded expectations across any metrics. I mean, so they're engaging, they're fun, they're professional, they're great with talking to, you know, fans. They're super engaging and funny in, you know, in social content. So I think they've been awesome. And so we're trying to, you know, to shine a light on that as much as we can. And so, yeah, I think we're just scratching the surface of what we could be doing.
And then the next piece is the live event piece, right? Because when I started looking at esports, I'm like, oh, they're killing it online. Why would you mess with a stadium? Why would you mess with? But they're selling out so quick across multiple titles. Like, it's a natural extension to potentially then look at, where does 2K fit? What does our fan base look like? Will people snap up tickets for a big game, watch it on a big screen, or integrate it with NBA games? There's all of those kind of options that are sort of on your runway.
Absolutely. And I think that's where even in season two, we'll begin to stretch our legs a little bit and look at those types of, you know, maybe taking our show on the road a week here, a week there. And in terms of the event piece in the future, like, that's definitely in our plans for the future. And by the way, we have our NBA owners have arenas and they have buildings. And so that's a pretty natural progression that would be easy for us. And they also have the infrastructure to sell tickets,
yep,
and to sell partnerships and things of that nature. So I don't think that's going to be a very long learning curve for us.
And that's the advantage that pro sports has in the esports space. That's the stuff they do well: sell tickets, sponsorships, season tickets, build that fan trust. And that's what both the NBA and the teams can leverage in the 2K space.
And you're even seeing now teams begin to adjust how they're building arenas.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing the Warriors put an esports space into their new arena that's going to be opening up. And I think, you know, the Kings did similar. Yeah. So I think, you know, I think we're going to see more and more teams have that become somewhat of the normal. That's the normal landscape of what a new arena needs to have some sort of esports space.
Yeah, definitely. And from we touched a little bit on it, but how important has been that Twitch partnership for 2K?
It's incredibly important. We partner with them because we thought they're the preeminent name in esports. It's a great place for us to start with them. You know, they have tons of experience they bring to the table. I think we complement each other really well from both of our kind of shared experiences. And they've also been super engaged. I mean, we have a weekly call where we are never getting satisfied with what we're doing.
Yep.
And so I think having them share that DNA of, like, what can we do better? What can we do better? And constantly learning from our fans, I think that's been a big benefit for us.
And I think the end of season review, when you actually get to, because you're in the trenches of season now, and yeah, you're making the minor adjustments and tweaking things to see how they go. But once you can step back, look at all the data, look at what actually happened, you can make some, you know, bigger shifts for season two to understand what's going to work for both the game itself, but then also partners, fans, how all the pieces sort of fit together.
Absolutely. And certainly our year one performance and data will help inform that. But that's, again, where the beauty of Twitch is. Twitch is doing this across so many games,
yeah,
and broadcasts. And so they have learnings in terms of just the broader esports landscape that can help inform what we're doing too.
So I wanted to wrap up with the Sports Geek closing five. I've had a long history in sports. Do you remember the first sports event you ever attended?
I do. It was the last Jets game ever played in Shea Stadium.
Okay.
So I think I might have been 8 or 9. I can't remember that part, but it was the last. I think it was Pittsburgh Steelers Jets.
Okay.
And everyone charged the field, and my brother was furious because he's older than me. He was bringing his younger brother to the game,
yeah,
and he couldn't go on the field with his friends because he had to stay back with me.
And he holds that over you to this day.
To this day, yes,
to this
absolutely
day. Yeah, as an older brother, I would do that too. You would have been a lot of sports events in your time. Do you have a favorite food memory or some ridiculous food memory?
So again, I'll say where I annoyed a family member.
Yeah.
So I was a little kid sitting at an Islanders game, a New York Islanders game, hockey game, and I was sitting front row, and I threw a piece of my pretzel onto the ice, and my father was not pleased that the referee came over and picked up the pretzel.
Yeah. So it's just scarred by pretzels from
yeah. I was very young. It wasn't like, oh, this didn't happen last year.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, people are now Googling it, looking for it on exactly. on YouTube. What's the first app you open in the morning?
One of two. Either it's either Twitter or it's ESPN.
Why Twitter?
It's my news source. I mean, it's real time. Especially, I love getting my sports news from Twitter.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. I love Twitter from the early days, but I've definitely seen a deeper connection in the esports gaming space with Twitter, and to a certain degree also with the athletes and their engagement and that kind of thing. And like, to a certain, talking to some of the gamers that have that edge in that space, and they're like, but that's esports, we've got this edge. And it's like, well, now you're in a proper league with big brands, and so has there been a bit of adjustment for some of the players to understand that, to sort of take away that, I guess, that edge that some esports have?
I think they're more aware that they are a personal brand, and like they have some obligation and responsibility to like how they manage that, because it reflects on them, and it reflects on their organization, reflects on the league, and I think everyone's bought in on that.
Yeah, but it has
without sanitizing too much.
Oh no, completely. Yeah. But it has been like, when they sort of came into this, started talking sports business overall, they were like, oh, this is our uniqueness. This is our USP. We're talking to the fans, and we have backwards and forwards. It's like, yeah, it is good. But then if you want to bring in corporate partners,
that's right,
there's certain risks and damage that you need to make sure that you got to stay within these lanes.
That's right.
to abide. So it's,
but the accessibility is a good thing.
Oh, no, completely. Yeah. Completely. And on that, do you have someone that you would suggest that the Sports Geek podcast listeners should follow, that you follow, or and why?
So I am a big fan of Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah.
I love his passion. I love the way he kind of crystallizes his business philosophies and makes it usable. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. I've given a couple of Gary V books to clients.
Nice.
on that. Very, very similar in philosophy around what I do. What social media platform is your MVP? And I normally ask this personally, what's your platform, your go-to platform? You might have already spoiled that one. But then also from the, put your NBA 2K League hat on, what's the MVP social media platform for you?
I guess I give two. One, yeah, I already said, which is Twitter.
Yeah.
I think it's a very easy to use. It's very topical. It's in the moment. And it's been great for us too, in terms of being able to talk to our fans directly. And the other one, obviously, I think is Twitch. I think it's the future. I think they're one, they've been a great partner, but also just the flexibility of the broadcast and the different directions and different branches we haven't even touched on yet.
Yeah.
I think it's going to make our broadcasts evolve every single year. And so I'm excited to work with them on it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, again, if there's people in the pro sports space trying to figure out what esports and gaming is, Twitch is the place to start looking, and it has a completely different lens. It's not the 55-inch, two talking heads with microphones, and then there's like, it does blow your mind a little bit. And that's where I think 2K is a good entree into that space, because you understand the functionality of a game and all of that, but it's a completely different point of view from a broadcast point.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Where can people find you on the internet, and where should they go to check out NBA 2K League?
So they can find the league on Twitch. They can certainly follow us on social, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. me personally, I am the 2K League MD on Twitter. And I try to be as active as possible.
And are you playing often now?
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, it's. I will say my 12-year-old still thinks he's better than me, but
so still thinks?
Thinks is being okay. The operative word, yeah.
Okay.
I am playing constantly. I'll never share my gamer tag, but
that was my next thing. It's like,
it's always the next question.
It always the next question. So, yeah, a bounty out there. If you can find Brendan's gamer tag, please tweet it out. Thank you very much for coming to the podcast.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun.
Join sports executives from around the world at sportsgeeknation.com.
Thanks again to Brendan Donahue. you can send him a tweet, 2KLeagueMD. And surely, if you do find his 2K handle, please let me know. We want that publicised. But yeah, really enjoyed catching up with Brendan. Thank you very much to Kelly and Francis for organising that. Lucky enough to go into the NBA offices in New York for a short chat to talk about the 2K League in Season 1. And I think, you know, some of the points that Brendan raised and the fact that it is just Season 1, I think it's a strong start. And it also gives the team some understanding of the esports ecosystem and how the fans are different. They react different. They definitely react differently online. They're even using platforms differently. You know, there's a lot of stronger connection via Twitter. So it was really good to get that perspective and also see it live and see some of the production stuff that they're doing in the studio and sort of see that the live element, even though it was a small studio, and if you are in New York, I'd highly suggest go book a ticket. You can book a ticket and get in for free to check it out live. I definitely can see how it can become a bigger live event as they start leveraging different parts of NBA stadiums. And so, yeah, as I said earlier in the opener, just got back from the USA trip, the Sports Geek trip, as it is known, via the hashtag Sports Geek trip. Just to recap, Dallas, really enjoyed it. Dallas was terrific. There was a lot of really good content. And also, you know, esports, talking about it with Brendan, it was one of the key topics and themes, I guess, of a few different sessions on understanding the greater esports thing, not just the games that are related to the sport, such as NBA and NBA 2K and FIFA and the like, but also there's a bit of a wider discussion about the general gaming and esports industry, which was good. One of the sessions I did like, which I always do like, was the closed door session, where from a digital point of view, people were talking about some of the key things, some of them being able to understand the differences in metrics and to be able to report that, and trying to understand Twitter views or video views and Facebook views and across and try to aggregate them to some meaningful number, but also realizing that the platforms themselves are doing their best to not make it easy to compare them. But plenty of great discussions both in panel sessions and also, as always happens at a conference like Seat, with quality people that are there, the good discussions that happen in the halls and in the bars afterwards. Then from there I went to Philadelphia for 4 days and caught the last 2 days of Podcast Movement. It was too short, and fortunately next year they won't, Seat and Podcast Movement won't overlap. But some of the takeaways were how different podcasters are playing around with different types of formats, which I found interesting, and not necessarily saying that there is one set format, which I've always been a strong believer in. Also, a couple playing around with different lengths of podcasts, a bit like, you know, how long a piece of content or how long a video should be. That discussion happens at Podcast Movement as well. So there was some robust discussion around the podcasts that are 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes long, and are they of value? Does that short form content work? There's some really strong case studies for that. They're very much some good content from Rob Walsh around the different platforms and the importance of different platforms. Apple is still the dominant player, and Google is rising. Spotify a little bit, but this sort of does fall away rather quickly. Even though I do love my Pocket Casts, it is a small player in a very big pond. And there was also some contention I sort of raised at the start there, with the fragmentation of all the platforms. There's a desire that you've got to have your platform and promote your podcast and all the different platforms. James Cridlin from Pod News is a really good newsletter. If you want to keep up with podcasting news, he counters that you should just be promoting, listen to your podcast on your website, and in this case, sportsgeekhq.com is where you would find it. Which is, you know, makes a good call, because it gives everyone a central point to go, and then eventually they will find the content. on the platform that they choose. So it was more of a direction for podcasts from a marketing point of view. New York, was in New York for a week. Really enjoyed it. Thanks to Jane Busman Wise for inviting us to the Red Bulls game. It was good to see another arena in action. Hadn't been out to the Red Bulls arena, so that was good. It was good to see a different circuit. Very hot game, unique stadium. And then it was great to also have the first Sports Geek Nation meetup. We hosted that on the Friday when I was in New York at Fool's Gold. So thanks for those who turned up. Thanks to Ben Reynolds from Spork, who you'll hear from later in the podcast, in another podcast, for co-hosting. So it was great to see some familiar faces that I'd met and known before, and also meet some new ones. So that was very successful from my point of view to catch up with people in New York. I'm definitely going to run those more often and in more and in different places around the world when I'm in town. So thank you for everyone who turned up. I finished off my trip with a couple of short stints. They were in Dallas. Sorry, not in Dallas. They were in Washington. As I said earlier, I arrived back this morning, so I'll blame jet lag on that one. Washington, where I was able to catch up with former guest and CRM guru Paul Greenberg. I don't throw that word around lightly. He's actually a legend in the space of CRM. And so it was good to catch up with him, sort of get the CRM point of view from Seat, as he is an attendee and a solid contributor to the Seat CRM track. So it was good to catch up with Paul to discuss all things CRM and learn a little bit about whiskey in Paul's man cave. And then also had a workshop with the Washington Redskins. Hopefully in the next week to 10 days, the Washington Redskins will be on Facebook Messenger with the chatbot. So we're a long way down the path of getting that ready for launch for the NFL season. So it was great to catch up with Jen, Michelle, Steve Ziff, who formerly was at the Jaguars. You might remember him from a previous podcast. I chatted with him when he was with the Jaguars, and now he's taken on a new role at the Redskins. So really looking forward for the chatbot and some of the developments that we made in the workshop around how it's going to interact with fans and those kind of things. That was really useful. And then my last stop was LA before, because I didn't want to do the whole East Coast, LA, then Australia in one day. So I quick stop over in LA. I was lucky enough to catch up with Jen Van Dyke, who was at the Clippers, and now she's at Wasserman, a sports agency, one of the biggest and best in LA. So it was great to catch up with her, talk about the industry trends she's seeing, and hopefully she'll be visiting my neck of the woods soon for C2 Melbourne, which will be in October. So that was a little bit of a recap of the trip. If you do want to know more, and if you do want to sort of find out how it went and some of the learnings and those kind of things, as always, please reach out, Sean@sportsgeekhq.com. As I said earlier, on earlier podcasts after Seat and doing the Digital to Dollars workshop, digitaltodollars.com is live. It can take you through a little bit of the process around what the book will entail, but also the process overall. The goal is to, my goal is that digital will be the primary revenue driver for sports by 2030. It'll be the number one item. And Digital to Dollars is built for that goal. So helping you with your audience, your content, your distribution, your valuation, your rate card, helping understand what your content and what you're doing is, what it's worth. And then the key bit is knowing your pitch and how to put that all together. That's Digital to Dollars. It can be done as a workshop, a two-day workshop. It can be done as a keynote, as I'll be doing at Sports Analytic World Series in Melbourne. But I will have done by the time you listen to this. So you can simply go to digitaltodollars.com for more info. But I do want one of the calls to action at both Seat and at the Sports Analytics Series is to get some case studies. I'd love to profile people I know, people who listen to the podcast, who have supported me over the journey of the past 9 years of Sports Geek, if you've got a great case study, I'd love to profile it in the book around those pillars of audience, content, distribution, valuation, and pitch. So please go to digitaldollars.com, check it out. Let me know how I can help you. Otherwise, that's about it for me. You can find me. I'll be back. You can find me in the Sports Geek Nation Facebook and Slack community. If you haven't joined Sports Geek Nation, please do so. Go to sportsgeeknation.com to sign up. If you're a Seat Dallas attendee, you can use the Seat Dallas link to sign up with a special offer for people who were at Seat. I'm really looking forward to seeing where the Sports Geek Nation goes. I did realize that we've surged past 100 members signed up in the first couple of weeks. So terrific response. Thank you for those who have signed up already. And for those who haven't, I'd really love for you to join us. Really looking forward to seeing the collaboration between sports business colleagues from around the world and seeing where the community can go. Until next episode, my name is Sean Callanan, and you've been listening to Sports Geek.
Join Sports Geek Nation, access to exclusive Slack and Facebook groups with regular Q&A sessions with Sean Callanan. Go to sportsgeeknation.com to join. Need help with your digital rate card? Not sure how to price your assets? Is there a disconnect between digital and commercial? That is where Sean works best, in digital divorce counselor mode. Book a time for a call with Sean to discuss the Sports Geek process. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/phone call.
Go to sportsgeekhq.com for more sports digital marketing resources.